Fine. No problem.
Good morning, everybody.
That was my second place. Apologies. Kof Vov Tammuz, Monday the 9th of July, Rabbi Svi Bakst. What's better in battle, a bow and arrow or a sword? What is better in battle, a bow and arrow or a sword? I imagine these are alliterative questions.
Rather than military tactics.
Adam, you should give a shit.
Arguably the most important person in Jewish history after Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe ben Maimon. Nobody codified Jewish law more than the Rambam. He achieved a tremendous, tremendous amount. And actually, at his birth, was already terribly visible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating events here. Why? Because actually, his father Maimon was a great Talmud Chacham, but he was so busy learning, he hadn't gotten married. So how are we going to get Moshe ben Maimon? Rabbi Maimon had not yet married. Rambam's father was not his father yet. So what happened was actually he had a dream. Had a dream that there was a butcher called Shem Tov, and this butcher called Shem Tov was obviously a very, 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 very nice man, because the dream was you're supposed to marry his daughter. First time he had the dream, he ignored it, you know. Perhaps, subconsciously, I'm thinking about getting married. Next time, and next time, and next time, eventually asked his chaver, Rabbi Yitzchak, in Cordoba. And Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, you better go to Shem Tov, which is a village near Cordoba. And he goes along, and the butcher washes his hands and puts a nice clean cloth on, because he sees a great Talmud Chacham coming. And he says, well, do you have a daughter of marriageable age? He says, yes. Well, I want to tell you about my dream. And I had this ongoing dream about marrying your daughter. So he said, well, that sounds as if it's Min HaShemayim. Yes. And they got married. I'm afraid it wasn't so simple. What happened was that Erev Pesach, not obviously about 9 months, 10 months later, whatever it is, a little baby was born. And Rabbi Maimon was holding the baby, but the mother was not doing well at all. And he was davening, was saying to Tehillim, was there any second time round to Tehillim? And the doctor comes in, your wife is no longer in pain. And he smiled, and he said, no, Baruch died, MS. And he had to quickly catch the baby from Rabbi Maimon, who was holding the baby. But it was very clear, Ashgocha, I don't know why, but this lady was supposed to be the mother of our great Rambam. And it was planned, it was very clear, a heavenly plan, that Moshe ben Maimon should arrive on the scene. Rabbi Maimon married a second wife, and he had a little boy called David. And David far superseded little Moshe. Moshe was actually not very interested in learning, not very clever in learning, not very good in learning. And in the Maimon tradition of 7 generations of Rabbonim and Dayonim, this was a disaster. So perhaps nowadays a 6-year-old who's not sitting and learning might not be considered a disaster, but Rabbi Maimon considered it a disaster. And he said, Moshe, why aren't you learning? You know, what's... You know, we know we descend from Yehuda Nossi, from David HaMelech. I expect from you much more than that. It's terrible. And he showed clearly his frustration. And little Moshe ran out. And he goes to the very, very big shul in Cordoba. And there's pillars like that. And he went behind the pillar and just cried and cried and cried. Hashem, I want to learn your Torah. Hashem, I want to learn your Torah. And he was there for Mincha, and then the Olam came for Maariv, and he cried himself to sleep, and the Kabbalah left the shul and had locked up the shul. Wow. And he was there all night. Wow. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he davened again, Hashem, I want to learn your Torah. The next morning, pitter patter, everybody comes in for davening. And uh, goes and washes Negavasa, he washes his eyes. Everything's different. He can feel that everything is different. He goes and he picks up a sefer and he reads through and he closes the sefer and he knows it cold. And his father was there. His father was there. And he thought, I'm going to tell my father. Then he thought, no. His father, Rebbe, was a Rimigash. I don't recommend you allow your six-year-olds to do this nowadays, but he literally hitchhiked all the way to the yeshiva of the Rimigash, a little six-year-old, a charming six-year-old, but he hitchhiked all the way to the Rimigash, and the Bochran went up in arms. Well, how can you allow a six-year-old into the yeshiva? This is the most prestigious yeshiva in the world. And the Rimigash said, leave him alone, he's the future godel in Klal Yisrael. And this Moishala was tremendous. Apparently the Rimigash, when just before his Ptira, allowed the Rambam Kamina Gasfardin to kiss his hand, gave him a brocha, and it was like a transfusion of Toiras HaRimigash through to the Rambam. The Rambam, as a little boy, arrived back in Cordoba, and he darshened to the rabbin huge amount of Torah. And there we see the Ribbono Shel Olam actually orchestrating the events that you and I should have a Rambam, we should have a Shulchan Aruch, and we should understand what we should do on a daily basis. One little question I have for you, Rabbi Isai. If we need the Rambam, and he's essential, and he's part of the Eibushter's plan, why can't he be born clever? Why does he have to have such a hard time, you know, poor little boy? I want to tell you a very important principle from the Ramchal. There's no success in this world other than through tefillah. You may get temporary success, but a real, proper, long-lasting, deep success can only come through tefillah. Says the Das Tfunas. Very simple, one reason, and other Rishonim you find a different reason, but I want to tell you two reasons. Reason number one is that it has to be that the success is infused with spirituality. And I explained that. I was once with my wife in somebody's house. I see this little boy. Part of my job is to watch little children and big children and try and work out what they're like. And this child was something special. It was clearly something special. And then I asked my wife, what is it with this kid? What is it? So my wife said, as a oisgebetene kind. What does it mean? The parents had waited many, many years for a child, and they davened and davened and davened, and this was the result. It doesn't mean that when we daven a long time for something, I got it. Every tefillah is infusing the future success with a spirituality and gives it a tremendous success. And Hannah was enamored by her little Shmuel because it was a child born after a tremendous amount of tefillah. The Das Tfunas says that actually, you know, we're living in a very materialistic world, you know, where we have to eat, we have to drink, we have to... So how do we survive? Our neshama should cope with all this physicality because we have to daven. You can't have your breakfast, you can't have your dinner, you can't have your supper, you can't have your success without tefillah that infuses everything with the spirituality of tefillah. That's reason number one. Reason number two, Reb Dessler speaks out these Rishonim very beautifully. He says, you know, a little boy comes to mummy and he says, mummy, please can I have the apple? You can't have the apple. It's poisonous at the top. Please, mummy, can I have the apple? Mummy cuts out the top of the apple, which is poisonous, takes away that, and says, right, now you can have the rest of the apple. Every success, it could be success in knowing Shas Bal Peh, but every success carries with it a danger. Gaiva, I'm the greatest. I really made it. That's very bad. You've just lost your success. The success has just gone straight down. So how do we ensure that you react correctly to success? And you say, no, it wasn't Kofi Vaitzim Yodi Osili Asachai Lazer. No. I once walked in to somewhere where they were dealing in commodities. There was an ashtray there. And I'm telling you, the amount of cigarettes in the ashtray was nowhere but a bundle of nerves. So I wrote out a nusach ha-tefillah. So, Yirotze lufonecho, shiheili eisek zeh ha-tzlocha rabo. May this be successful, the next thing I'm investing in. Calm down. You see, when we daven, we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That success is ascribed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's then not a success which is going to make me into a Baal Gaiva. And at the same time, actually, this shtadlus is not done as a bundle of nerves, as stressful. But I'm doing what I have to do, but it's actually up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have two reasons why you can't succeed without davening. Number one is because we need to infuse our successes with the spirituality, with the ruchnias. And number two is because otherwise we will be Baalei Gaiva and we will think Koichi Ve'otzim Yodi Oseli Esachai Lazeh. Now, there was a little boy, Borchel, in Sloan Kettering, as a place where nobody wants to be, Chas V'Shalom. Little boy of five, and he was not doing so well. And this Rav Avrom Rosen came along to be Mechazakim. And this little boy, unfortunately, had heard the doctors talking and saying, not much hope here. And he'd heard it. He says, Rabbi Rosen, you've got a dumb, does Hashem not listen to you? You've got a daven for me. I want you to guarantee that I'm going to get better. Poor Rabbi Rosen. He says, Baruch, I can daven. I'm going to get the whole of Lakewood Yeshiva to daven. But I can't guarantee that you're going to get better. And little Baruch, Rabbi Rosen, you're not going to help me, are you? Okay, I'm going to talk to Hashem myself. He will help me. And Rabbi Rosen goes out, and the mother says, why couldn't you promise him he's going to get better? He says, I can't. So, Rabbi Rosen goes, a disappointed child, a disappointed mother, and a disappointed Rabbi Rosen. And then he calls up the mother, and he says, tell Baruch that his sixth birthday, he's coming to my flat in Lakewood, and we're going to celebrate his sixth birthday on the fifth day, Hanukkah. He said, I don't understand. What's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. What's changed, I thought about the conversation I had with him. He asked me, can I guarantee his getting better? Then I realized, actually, he turned around and he says, it's all right, I will talk to Hashem directly and he will answer my tefillah. 100% emunah in tefillah. It's a different tefillah. Different tefillah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says there are two people with a rope around their neck. Never. About to be hung. And one davened, and the other one davened. One was saved, and the other was not. Says the Gemara, what's the difference? He davened a tefillah shleima, and he davened a tefillah which was not shleima. Ask Rabbi Eliyahu, I don't understand, someone's got a rope around his neck. He's going to daven properly. I mean, you know what I mean? We may not daven an ordinary, you know, weekday mincha so well, but, you know, rope around your neck, you really daven. What happened? He says, no. There's one guy who's davening, and he says, you know, please Hashem, help me, please, but I don't really think you can. And the other one says, Ribbono Shel Olam, rope a heen, rope a hair. I can get through this if you want me to. You're 100% in control. Different tefillah. The Gemara says there was one with a terminal illness, and two people with terminal illness, one davened tefillah shleima, one didn't daven tefillah shleima. Same thing. What does it mean? Tefillah Shleimah is 100% emunah. He realized that this little baruch, 100% emunah, that the Rebbe is going to ask. So that's already a very effective tefillah, a very different sort of tefillah. So we have to understand that the second thing we need in tefillah is a far greater degree of emunah that tefillah is successful. We have a problem, Rabbi Yisai. We have a problem that actually, we'd be quite good, a lot of us, be quite good to get up in the morning or go to bed at night and say, please Hashem, help me. We speak English quite well. Quite, you know, pretty good, pretty effective. Diane Fisher said to Menaheles, says, you know, your Yerushalmi girls are very good. What do they do? When they're about to bake, they say, "Ay, tata, zolzich gut backen." They talk to Hashem. They talk to the Rebbein Shem, Yiddish or English or anything. We need, says Rebbein Shem Pinkus, in the seal of the Sefer Shalom Tefillah, says, we need to talk to Hashem 20 times a day, 30 times a day. We're really lacking in this, and I find English boys very difficult to convince of this. I'm a bit embarrassed, you know. Why embarrassed? Well, Hashem loves you. Hashem wants the best for you. Hashem runs the world. Talk to him. So I have to get them over this American girls who I teach as well have not that much problem. But the English boys have to say, yeah, you can talk to Hashem 20, 30 times a day. And when I get them into it, yeah, they're quite good at that. And it's something that says Rav Shimshon, we have to do 20. And it says Yosef was amazing. Why was Yosef was Shem Hashem Shogur Befi? Why was he so successful? He says, you know, the boss wanted a hot drink. He said, please Hashem, help me to make a hot drink. And it was hot. Please Hashem, help the drink should be cold because it was a hot day like this and he wanted a cold drink. Please Hashem, all day long he was davening. Very successful. I don't know what language, I suppose yes, he davened in Loshna Kodesh, I don't know exactly. But it's fine, it's good to daven in English, it's excellent. Yeah, but then we get to Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei presents a bit of a problem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Eitzei Shalom B'Mrim Bavu. What happened in between? There's a lot of words, but I'm not sure what quite happened in between. It's not my words. What do we do about it? It's a problem. It's a problem that we have in Shmoneh Esrei. We're saying the words, but it's not my words. So I'd like to attack this problem. Says the Netziv that Yaakov Avinu went to war against the Emiri Tzva Haganali Yisrael Becharbi Ubekashti with my sword and my bow and arrow. So, Chazal, Marba Basra, Targum, Yenisim, Vechola, doesn't mean that he probably did go out with a sword and bow and arrow, but that's not what Yaakov Avinu is actually pointing out. Charbi is one type of tefillah, and Kashti is another type of tefillah, and now we have to analyze what's better, a sword or a bow and arrow. Explains the Brisker Rav, a sword, you know, people have visualized, you know, a sword fight. It's not true. I'm sorry, it's not true. You know, the swords, when they were made of steel, which was the big chiddush of the Romans, was made so razor sharp, you had nothing to do. You just place it there and it went through like butter, anything. Just anything. The enemy was dead before he said Jack Robinson. What happened is the swords had inherent power in them of this sharpness and it just killed. A bow and arrows at the brisker of. Robin Hood was very strong. He didn't exist, but he was very strong. Off it goes. Big difference. The words of the Anshei Knesset Agdoilah, Rabbi Chaim Veloshen, were infused with such a power, such an energy. Just say the words. Say those words, and they are very, very powerful. They have a tremendous energy. The intercontinental ballistic missiles, which will break through. You know what they break through? The Makatra give. Hands up, all those who have never done any Aveiros. So, we all have a bunch of Malochim up there. Say, wait a minute. Who says this tefillah should be accepted? I should break through this barrier in Shammai. The Makatra give are stopping the tefillahs. And it's not Pashat. The Anshei Knesset Agdoilah, 120 of them, and there were Nevi'im B'Soicham. And they infused the words with such a Kedusha, they're powerful. Say those words, says Rabbi Chaim Veloshen. Just look at the words, visualize the word, think about the word. Yes, you will have more kavon and more kavon. But say the words, every word, savor the words. They are your missiles. Say them properly, say them meaningfully, as much as kavon as you can have, but at least think about the word. Wow, that's a sword that breaks through all these makatrakim. We're stopping my tefillahs from getting there. Ah, says the Netziv. Yeah, in war, this is how wars used to be fought. What happened was, you had the general or the king, whatever it is, he was surrounded by tens of thousands of soldiers. And then you wanted to shoot arrows in and kill the king, and then you won the war. Doesn't work. You see, the bow and arrow has got a limited distance. And however much, however good of an archer you are, of its limited distance. So you have to go with the sword. Boom, boom, boom. Break through, break through, break through all the defences, and then you're close enough to start using your bow and arrow. So therefore, says the Nitziv, the words of Anshei Knesset Agdoilah are the sword. Harbi. And then you can say your own tefillahs. When we say to in Elikai Nitzor at the end of Shemona Esra, Ribbono Shel Olam Ani Panosa, you know, it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Chof Beis Sif Ches says the Mishnah Berurah from Chaye Adam that everybody has needs in Parnasa. They want their children to go in the right derech. They want bracha. They want hatzlocha. Ask in your own language, in your own words, Mikirois Liboy, from the depths of your heart. It's a bow and arrow. It needs a lot of koyach. You've got to have a lot of strength in it, a lot of feeling, and a lot of emotion there in order for it to work. And it's very powerful. But first you need the words of the Anshei Knesset Agdoilah. They clear the path, get rid of all the makatrigim, and then put an open field. And you can ask, and you can get there, and your tefillahs are, wow, they're heading in the right direction. Sometimes it's a bit hard to get the feeling in. Hard. Chofetz Chaim says something amazing. Rabbeisa, I'm telling you it's amazing. You need to use the Chofetz Chaim's Eitzah. Actors, don't worry, I haven't got inside information here, but as I heard on the share, actors have always had a problem. They need to cry on the big screen. And their problem is they're not very upset. So they had all sorts of aces, how to put certain drops there, and it looks like tears, and big problem. Until somebody discovered a very simple system. If you visualize something sad in your life, you'll get very sad. The visualization, it's what Rabitzel Petterburger talks, Hatsura is creating a picture, something very powerful, but very powerful, extremely powerful. We can use it in Muslim, we can use it in... But in Tefillah, says the Chofetz Chaim, use the Koyach HaTziur, visualize. You know, sometimes we want to come for our children, our grandchildren. They're perhaps going through a hard time, or we want to be sure they're going in the right direction. Just picture that child. The last time you saw the child, perhaps he wasn't well. Or the last time you had this little boy, he didn't know a thing. Just visualize it. Oh, you'll get more emotion. You get more feeling. Once you get more feeling, it's a different vault altogether. A totally, totally different, different feeling. So, Mimela, a person has to know that we have, first of all, the words of Anshei Knesset Agdoilah as Harbi. Then afterwards we have Kashti, and Kashti has to be with Koyach. And with the Koyach Hatzir, oh, you can put in something very, very important. Last problem is, me, Shems, looking at me, you know what I mean? You know, since Sharon Peritez says, you know, Dam for Mashiach, we all have to Dam Mashiach. Amen, Yehish, Mei Rabbah, Mvarach, L'Olam, Mom, I wish the whole world would recognize Hashem, finally, 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 it's already... Yeah, but who am I? You know what I mean? You know what? So I want to tell you about Toscanini. Toscanini was the world's greatest conductor. He was the only person who could take a violin, tune the violin without a tuning fork. That's quite something. He was a brilliant conductor. And Toscanini was getting on in life. And this journalist, who was also quite into music, decides he's going to write his life story. So he follows Toscanini here, and he follows Toscanini there. He's following him everywhere. One night, Toscanini says, sorry, Obin, can't see you. Tonight, the BBC are putting on a concert of my favourite piece, and I must hear it. Obin, Toscanini, can I, says the journalist, can I just come along and just sit next to you and just listen with you? No problem. Fine. So the journalist sitting there, and the journalist enjoys the concert. He's got a chush for music as well. He said, he enjoys it. Such a beautiful concert. Huh? Such a brilliant orchestra. Such an amazing piece. And he's watching Toscanini. And Toscanini goes... He's in pain. Says, Rob Toscanini. What's tutte? What's going on? Why in such pain? It's such a beautiful piece. So Toscanini says, the 14th violin is missing. You what? Yeah, the 14th violin is missing. Straight on to the BBC. Excuse me, I hope you won't mind me asking, was anybody missing in the orchestra in this evening's concert? Well, actually, how on earth do you know the 14th violinist was not well? It wasn't there, but how do you know? Toscanini told me. Mm-hmm. How does he know? Plonk. Goes Toscanini. Excuse me, Rob Toscanini. How do you know the 14th violin was missing? So, you don't understand. The whole concert was ruined because the 14th violin was missing. Says Rob David Kvyat, when he heard this story, he says, the master conductor is aware that the 14th violin is missing. The ordinary plebiscites won't know. But the master conductor knows the 14th violin was missing. Hashem is Baruch as the master conductor. He has an orchestra producing a great Kiddush Hashem. But every violin is there and makes the whole concert. My tefillah counts to Hashem is Baruch. It's very, very powerful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Very meaningful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, says Maaseh Yeshayahu. And don't underestimate when I say, my Omein Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach L'Olam L'Omei Omei Ribbono Shel Olam, I want you to be recognized in the world. I can't take it anymore. 7 billion people in the world don't even know you exist. Ribbono Shel Olam, it took me away, it hurts me. Just that. What am I going to do, says Monsieur Jean? Your tefillahs are important. We have to understand that each one of our tefillahs is exceedingly, extremely important and very meaningful to the Rabbi Hashem. There was a Yid, and this Yid goes to his Rav, and he says to the Rav, he says, Rebbe, I've been married so many years, my wife hasn't had a child. Rebbe, my debts are Iber and Kop. I've got so many debts. I just can't cope with it. And Rebbe, I've just been diagnosed with quite a serious illness. What should I do? I can't answer you. I'm taking you to Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein and let's see what he says. So Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein says, let me tell you a story. The story goes as follows. There was a king in a Medina and he loved his subjects. But there were quite a few rebellious members of his kingdom, and it wasn't so easy for him, it was hard, and he got quite upset. But there was one peasant there who knew how to play the violin. Played the violin beautifully. And when the king got despondent, this peasant used to play the violin brilliantly. And the king was so excited and so enthused that the whole Medina actually run better once this fellow had played the violin. Says Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, that there is a song which Hashem is Baruch loves very much. It's called Omein Yehei Shmei Rabbo Mevarach La'olam Omei Omayo. I'm putting aside all my problems, all my sorrows, all my difficulties, all my needs. I'm going to focus for 2 seconds on your problems. There's a Chilul Hashem. People don't know who you are. It upsets me. Yehei Shmei Rabbo Mevorach L'Olam L'Omei Omai. Hallelujah. The whole world will recognize you. L'Olam in this world. L'Omei in Yemos HaMashiach. Omaya in Tchias HaMeisim. I wish the world would recognize you. And just for 30 seconds, 2 seconds, whatever it takes, I'm putting aside my problem. I'm worried about your problem, Kaviyachol Rabbeinu Shalom. Oh, that's music to the ears of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam said, now everything's going to change. We have a wonderful opportunity. 3 times a day we go to davening and we can say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach L'Olam L'Olam L'Omei Omaya, and we can just say those words and they're so, so powerful. The Chosayim says, you know, it's such a short, people talk in the middle of Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, And actually, it's like somebody says, you know, you've got problems, fine. Here's a check for £1 million, put it down on the table. You just have to make this massive effort, pick up the check and put it in your pocket. Wow, what a massive effort. Yeah, I know, but okay, it's worth it, you know. Check for £1 million, let's pick it up and put it in my pocket. He says, just say those words, think about it and say, you know, halavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam covered will be reinstated in the world. I can't take it. 7 billion people don't even know you exist. Everything changes. Yirotzu b'fnei Avinu shebashamayim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should hear our tefillahs and should bring Moshiach tzidkenu b'mehera v'yomeinu. Amen.